And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, on this Palm Sunday, we just pause for a moment to seriously consider the events that transpired as Jesus entered into the city. What an incredible historical time and event in the church. Our Lord walking in literally to death. Now think about that in light of our first responders, and God bless our first responders, the nurses, the medical staff that are at the front lines, and that, you know, they're there putting their lives in danger, being right in the midst of this virus that most of us are trying to stay as far away from as we possibly can. And yet they're really even risking their lives for the sake of others. And so our hearts go out to doctors and nurses, to all of our police and fire departments, all those who run into danger when most people are trying to flee from it any way that they can. Well, did you hear those words in the Old Testament reading this morning from Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7? But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. What incredible words. You know, these words were prophesied of Jesus 700 years through the prophet Isaiah as God inspired him to write these words down. And 700 years before Jesus came. And this section of Isaiah, by the way, is known as the servant text. Several chapters, as you read through the latter part of Isaiah's prophecy, speak of the servant. And the servant is no other than Jesus Christ. And so this is a promise of Jesus coming. In fact, in these words that Isaiah quotes from God, they're actually Jesus' words. He's speaking 700 years prior to these events now unfolding. And Jesus says, I have set my face like a flint. You know, those are powerful words when you think about it. Because what Jesus is revealing as he speaks is his unbreakable determination that he is headed right into the face of death, like death we have never experienced, nor would we want to experience, as his focus is on the cross. And in this prophecy, Jesus clearly informs that he will not shrink from any kind or degree of suffering. The servant, the Messiah, has spoken. Now think about that. 700 years before this event would transpire. And Jesus, the very Son of God, as God, knew every detail of what he would go through 700 years from that time spoken. And so Jesus came to face the enemies that destroy our lives, the enemies that we could never overcome by our own power and strength. And there are really three key enemies to life. And the first one is sin. Jesus came to do battle with sin. And sin is simply rebellion against God's will. It's rebellion against God himself. How has God revealed his will to us? He has done that through his inerrant word, the Holy Bible, that word that stands forever. And so God has clearly revealed his will to the world. And when we step away from God's will, when we rebel against it, when we do things contrary to God's will, that is sin. And by the way, we have all fallen short. We have all sinned, but not Jesus. Jesus came to confront sin. as true man. That's why he came in the flesh. He placed himself as true man under his own law, that law that demands perfection. And if you cannot fulfill it perfectly, you are going to die. And that's why death has come into the world. And Jesus, as true man, would be severely tempted in many different ways. And if you were with us last Wednesday evening, we focused on that quite a bit. But the great temptation that was brought to Jesus was to deny the cross, to just receive the glory. And so right out the gate, when Jesus entered his public ministry, willfully putting himself in that vulnerable position in the midst of Satan and his severe temptations, and Satan tempted Jesus that he could have all the glory now. Just bow down to me, Jesus, and you can have it all. Imagine how tempting that would be for Jesus, knowing every detail of the cross that he would face. And yet Jesus sternly told Satan to leave him, and Satan had to leave. He remained perfectly obedient to his Father. He did not sin. Jesus tempted many more times in many different ways, but he abided by God's law perfectly. As true man, Jesus remained perfectly obedient to his Father in heaven. Well, the next enemy is death. And we don't really like to think about that one, do we? Especially in light of what we're experiencing now. You can't hardly turn the news on, whether it's local, national, international news, state news, and all we hear is about death. Every day we're given the stats on COVID-19 and how many more people have died. Death is right before our eyes constantly. But that's why Jesus came. But I want to inform you very clearly today that death is not a physical problem. It's a spiritual one. It's not one that's going to be healed by medicine. No one's ever going to be able to figure out a way to prevent us from dying. Because you see, death is God's judgment for sin. It is his judgment. That judgment stands. And God's judgment has no boundaries. Death has no boundaries. Everyone dies. If we survive the coronavirus, we're all going to die of something else. We're all terminal in that case. The Lord clearly reveals to us in Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death. And in Romans chapter 3, we hear God clearly declare to the world, all have sinned. That's why when we begin worship, every Sunday, we begin with confession. We come acknowledging our sin, seeking God's forgiveness. We acknowledge that we have all sinned. And in that sin, without God's deliverance, we die. You know, in Romans chapter 3, verse 19, we hear these harsh words from God. And I really want you to think about the significance of these words this morning. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law. And by the way, that's all of us. All of us are under the law. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. Do you ever think about that, that you are accountable to God? That when your life ends on this earth and when my life ends on this earth, that we have to stand before the God who is the judge of all things and give an accountability? What do we have to bring to God? We all have sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. And now we know that the wages of sin is death. We have nothing to stand on by our own power and strength. We cannot overcome this by ourselves. We can't even contribute to overcoming this. And that, dear friends, is why we celebrate Jesus entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. It's why we celebrate that Jesus loved the world so much knowing from eternity past the pain and the agony that he would go through. But he came to conquer sin and death. But there's another enemy, and that one is Satan. You know, Satan is an angel, a fallen angel, and kind of a mystery in God's word. God doesn't refer to this very much. But Satan and a number of the angels God had created in heaven rebelled against God. They wanted to overthrow God. Think about the arrogance of that, the creature thinking that they can overthrow the Creator. But that's exactly what Satan attempted to do. Many angels followed him. We know them now as demons in Scripture. And God cast them all out of heaven. And Satan and the demons are on this earth. And believe me, they have great influence and power in the world. And God wants us to realize this. He wants us to recognize and to know the enemy. And God exposes Satan as being a deceiver and a liar and certainly a tempter. He has great influence and power on the earth. You know, there's a number of references in Scripture where Jesus says different things about Satan. And Jesus in John 14 says that Satan is the prince of this world, meaning that Satan has the unbelieving world in the palm of his hand. He has them in his control. Jesus also exposes Satan as being the father of lies. Think about all of the lies in our culture today that go totally in contrast to God's absolute truth. Well, you know, Satan is feeding the lies and encouraging them. I don't know about you, but these words in Ephesians 6 get my attention, and they're verses 10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Notice we're not standing on our own strength here. We can't. We don't have it. But God says through Paul, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Does that sound kind of serious to you? It certainly does to me. And then it even gets more intense, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Satan is powerful. And I want to make it clear that you and I cannot stand against him by our own power and strength. Don't even try, because you will be defeated every time. You know, God also tells us that Satan roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Do you think God wants us to recognize the enemy? Absolutely. And to understand how powerful he is. Well, as we enter into Holy Week, as Jesus enters into Jerusalem, we see a number of things going on, and certainly people that are greatly influenced by Satan. We think of Caiaphas, the high priest. Caiaphas, the one who should have been rejoicing, the Messiah is here, Jesus is here, God has given us his deliverance through his Son. And yet Caiaphas, with all of the Jewish council, the leaders of the quote-unquote church of the day, are scheming of how they can destroy Jesus. And then we see Pilate, and we see Satan's influence there. Pilate has all control and authority. He can just dictate to the Jews and say, it's not happening. I know you want to execute this one called Jesus, but I will not have it. I'm not going to allow it to happen. And Pilate had that power and authority. But he caved in, didn't he? He caved in by his own sinful flesh. He caved in by the influence of Satan. He caved in knowing that his own job might be on the line if things get out of hand in Jerusalem. So it'd be much easier, knowing this man is innocent, I'm just going to allow him to be executed. And then we think about the crowds. the crowds who Jesus embraced with his truth. He shared his love. He proclaimed the gospel. He performed miracles in the midst of them. Jesus showing his mercy and love and compassion. And yet on Good Friday, we see the influence of Satan in the sinful flesh. Crucify him, crucify him, they yell. Now, as we consider all of the details of this week, God knew every detail. God knew every detail from eternity past, and he, Jesus, had the authority to say, enough is enough. I'm not going to go through with this pain anymore. He could have embraced what Satan offered to him. He could have received glory on earth and totally avoided the cross altogether. He had the authority to do that. Remember when they mocked Jesus on the cross? Oh, if you're the Son of God, come down from that cross. Prove yourself. Imagine that. Jesus could have stopped all of the agony instantly. Unlike us, we can't stop this virus. We don't have any power or strength within ourselves. Boy, if we could, we would, wouldn't we, instantly? But here, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, dear friends, we see the greatness of our Lord's love for us. That even though he had the power and the authority to stop the suffering, Jesus went through with it. He totally faced sin and death and Satan. And the good news is he won. Think of those words again from the prophet Isaiah. Jesus' words, I have set my face like a flint. Can you imagine what that must have been like for Jesus approaching the city of Jerusalem? Knowing the details of what was soon to happen. And Jesus enters the city on Palm Sunday, and there's the cries of the crowd, the hosannas, welcoming the King of the Jews, acknowledging Jesus to be king. But Jesus knows where this is all going, and yet he doesn't cower from it. He doesn't back down, but he charges forward with a face like flint. Jerusalem was a dangerous place for Jesus. Remember when Jesus, shortly before these events, found out that Lazarus was sick, and Jesus informed the apostles, we're going to go see Lazarus. And one of the apostles, Thomas, just to show how they understood, Thomas said, let us also go that we may die with him. The apostles knew Jerusalem was not a good place for Jesus to go, that death would be looming there. And of course, the Jewish council, their plots are already in place. We hear that, so from that day on, they planned to take Jesus' life. The scheming was already clearly in place, but Jesus knows every detail. You can't hide anything from God. He knows the plans of the Jewish council. And so Jesus remains totally in control. And this is so important for us to recognize and realize. For most, our lives are out of control. And boy, if we had the power to change things, we would. But Jesus totally in control. And so Jesus no longer moved publicly among the Jews, but he withdrew to a village called Ephraim. So Jesus knew they wanted to kill him, but it wasn't his time yet. He chose the time, and so he withdrew for a moment. Well, there are many incidences in Scripture where Jesus says that this is not the time. My time has not yet come. And Jesus easily avoided those who wanted to lynch him. Remember in Nazareth when Jesus was invited to read at the synagogue, he opens the scroll from Isaiah. He reads a prophecy about the Messiah. He rolls up the scroll again, looks at the group in the synagogue, and says, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. And right away, they're crying blasphemy. And we hear that they attempt to drag Jesus out to a high cliff on the edge of Nazareth and throw him over the cliff. They wanted to kill him. But what does Jesus do? He just walks through the crowd, and they cannot touch him. Why? Because his chosen time had not come yet. Jesus enters Jerusalem to the praise, but also to the rebuke, right? The Pharisees are just beside themselves. What are we going to do now? But it is the chosen time. This is the time. And Jesus, with a face like flint, faces it. All the way back when our first parents had fallen into sin and God brought the judgment of death on the world, at that moment, God promised the seed of the woman. Jesus is the seed, and he faithfully comes. And now Jesus is announcing to his apostles, the hour has come. And then we hear in John chapter 13, Jesus knew that the time had come. It is now. It is at hand. And Jesus doesn't back down from it. He doesn't cower to it. But don't you love those words? With a face like flint, he faces it in perfect obedience to his Father and out of love for you and me. I want you to really hear these gospel words from Jesus, because I think a lot of people are confused by this. They think that Jesus actually got killed without Jesus being in control of the situation. But in John 10, we hear these words. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. And then in Philippians chapter 2, the epistle reading today, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Jesus always fully God, but he wasn't hanging on the cross saying, oh, I'm going to deliver myself now. I want the world to know I'm God. No, instead he submitted to that suffering. Though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, and there it is, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Well, in bringing this all together, if Jesus hadn't faced the enemies of sin, Satan, and death, we would be lost and condemned in hell forever. Suffering in the world as we do today and dealing with the coronavirus, that would be a piece of cake compared to eternity in hell, being separated from God forever. God is here with us in the midst of the suffering and trials we currently go through. But it all comes down to this. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, the Savior of the world? Do you recognize and appreciate and celebrate that Jesus died for you as he died for me? Those precious words, probably most familiar in Scripture, John 3:16, but I want to read through verse 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. My heart goes out to the world today, to those who still do not believe. The Lord has accomplished everything. Not only did he die at the cross, but he rose victoriously and he lives. The victory is won. And God desires that every one of us receive the victory. It's already given to us. The only thing we can do is reject it, and the majority of the world unfortunately does. But today, I hope hearts are changed, that many more will come to trust, especially as we see death 24/7 in front of our faces, that we may see the world's first responder, Jesus Christ, who came bearing that cross with a face like flint. In His name we trust, in His name we give thanks and praise. God bless you. Amen.